Hello, and welcome back to the Football Foundry. I'm your host, James, and as ever, I'm joined by Matt. How are you, Matt? Oh, the emotion.
Oh, mate, drained, if anything, but I'm good. But, like, oh, every single emotion you can feel in a football game, I pretty much just felt watching.
It was hard. It was hard.
I wasn't even like 80 plus minutes. I was like, fine, we've got this. We've got this. Then Yerry Mina heads that goal, heads that ball. Trippier heads it into his own net. Like, whatever. It's like, oh my God. Then second half, it's like, oh my God, we're going to lose. We're going to lose. We're going to lose. Then this Henderson's pen gets saved. It's like, oh my God, we're definitely done now. Then. And then it all just turned good and beautiful. That's football, though. Yeah. But, oh, God, brilliant. So well, good.
Thanks for joining us this week, and we will be back next week. I'm joking.
To be fair, it's all you need to say, to be fair. You know? England got through. Done. Next episode.
Before we get into any World Cup action, I suppose we best quickly gloss over Riyad Mahrez on his possible £60 million move to Man City, as reported for about the last three seasons. but it's there again. Do we think it's going to happen or not?
There's been so much talk of it over previous seasons. It wouldn't surprise me if it does now finally go through.
Do you think it'll actually finally happen now?
Yeah, but if you're Riyad Mahrez, well, to be fair, you're still going to end up winning trophies, but you won't be getting nowhere near as much game time as you would be right now at Leicester.
Yeah, especially when you've got Sterling and Sané.
Well, but at the moment, Sterling isn't really a selling point for Man City. Well, national side anyways.
Club level.
Club level, top draw. National level, Sterling. No.
I personally don't think it'll happen. I think it's just more rumours going around. I think it'll literally be the exact same as last season where they're on the verge of doing it. Leicester reject it, Mahrez stays. January, they do the same again. Leicester reject it, Mahrez stays. I think it'll just be that till next summer. Until his contract runs out, probably.
I was going to say, it can only continue that sort of process till his contract expires and he'll end up going to City or whoever on a free transfer, so... Mm-hmm. However, Leicester want to play it. If they want to get a bit of money and £60 million for Riyad Mahrez, just depends how many years he's got left on his contract. It depends. Because obviously, there's talk of Willian going to this, that, and the other. I think he's been linked with Barcelona in the last couple of days. That was just for £50 million, but he's in his last year of his deal. So it's just how you see it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I suppose we best go through these round of 16 results before we talk about the corker. Speaking of corkers, France against Argentina finished up 4-3. This was a rollercoaster game in its own right. France went 1-0 up, and then did Argentina go 2-1 up?
Yeah.
And then France obviously pulled it back to 4-2. And in the 93rd minute, Aguero didn't quite do it.
How good was how good was Di Maria's goal? Oh. But Pavard's goal was brilliant as well. Talking about Di Maria's goal, Pavard's goal was better. Yes. Absolutely top draw by Pavard. Like being a bit of an unknown quantity, playing in Germany for Stuttgart. Like, because they were saying a couple of seasons ago, no one even heard of Pavard in Ligue 1 and Ligue 1. I had to count in French so I could say the thing. and the rest. But his goal was amazing. Like, he just cuts it across, it just swings back in the outside right foot. Pavard's goal was brilliant. Definitely up there for one of the best goals of the tournament so far.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. There's been a fair few decent goals in this tournament. But Uruguay beat Portugal 2-1. Mm-hmm. There was a good goal, a good ball in from Suarez in this that I loved. Such a good ball in this, and it just nails Cavani on the nose.
It just smashes him. It's not even a class finish, it just smashes him. I'll just throw myself into it. I'll head it in, oh no, it's too low, smash. But it goes in, so it makes no difference. It was a...
It's great.
Thing is, though, you can make fun of Cavani for his first goal, but his second goal, the placement on that, oh my God, top draw. He's really showing his class there, Cavani.
Yeah, yeah. That little break that he got completely open, tucked it in that far right corner. Brilliant.
Beautiful.
Stuff.
Beautiful.
And then we witnessed a shock. Not even... Well, I don't know anyone that really called this, but Spain getting beat by Russia on penalties. Obviously, the game finished 1-1 and Russia won 4-3 on penalties. I hold my hands up and say I honestly did not expect this to happen.
I don't think anyone did. Obviously, maybe the optimistic Russian fans, maybe we're thinking, oh, we've got this, but no right, sane mind man that follows football would have thought that Russia would do anything against Spain, but hey, it just shows what the World Cup's all about. These sort of results and fixture.
Russia did tremendous in just preventing Spain from doing anything.
Yeah.
They let Spain pass it around like they do, and there's so much talk about Spain not having a backup option. And they had Diego Costa on, obviously. They got the own goal quite early on. I think it was about 10 minutes in or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Russia stuck to that idea of, we're not letting them through. They can pass it about all they want. They are not getting through. The organisation that they had and everything was spot on. They obviously won the penalty. They scored the penalty. And then that put them in an even better position and made Spain struggle. But in all honesty, when Russia scored that penalty, I was like, ah, Spain will be fine. They'll go and get another two or three and they'll see this game off easy. But nah. They didn't have a backup option. And then they took Diego Costa off.
That was odd.
Which for me was weird.
Yeah.
And brought on Aspas. Yeah, it's trying to change it up a bit, try and make defence doubt themselves or whatever. But Diego Costa is a person that will do that for you. He's unpredictable. But it was just weird.
In a tight game that they were playing, they needed a battering ram sort of striker. And Diego Costa is perfect for that role. And taking him off did not make much sense at all. So... don't know what Hierro was thinking, but I wouldn't say that single decision cost him the tournament, whatnot, but it didn't make much sense. It definitely wasn't a positive move. Not in my personal opinion, it definitely wasn't a positive move for Espanyol squad.
No, not at all. Not at all. But that means Spain are out, and Croatia played against Denmark, which started off absolutely amazing. 1-1 within 4 minutes. Everyone was like, oh my God, this is incredible. Then it finished 1-1. Yeah. And then extra time finished 1-1. And then it went to penalties. But Peter Schmeichel was in that crowd, absolutely losing it while his son Kasper was down there pulling off some incredible saves.
Well, basically, this game, before penalties, 120 minutes long, it only had 3 minutes of action, and it was the first 3 minutes.
Yeah. Essentially.
But yeah, obviously, Schmeichel made the save from Modric's penalty in extra time, pretty much
the
dying depths of the game. And Kasper, it's a real shame that, like, for Kasper and Denmark, because they generally deserve to get something out of this game just for the way the heroics at the end. But obviously, Croatia ended up saving more pens when it really mattered. Well, obviously, it mattered when Schmeichel saved one in extra time because he would still knock them out. But you know what I mean?
When it came down to it, Croatia.
Our situation, absolutely.
But fair play to Schmeichel, though. It did all he physically could in that game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you said, first few minutes, there was a lot of action and a lot going on, but then the game sort of like, it weren't really anything to it. And then towards the end, Modric got his penalty in extra time, like you say, saved that, really gave Denmark a massive boost.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was all over then. I honestly thought it was done. I thought Modric was going to score it, and then that were it, but no. And then, obviously, in the pen shootout, Schmeichel's pulling saves out wherever he can. So really good penalty takes in that Croatian side as well, so he did really well to save some of them.
Yeah, I know. It just came down to which keeper saved more in the shootout, and to Basic saved more in the shootout. So, just a shame, really.
Well, Mexico didn't do it against Brazil, unfortunately. We thought they might have. This did start quite well. First 30 minutes or so, I thought Mexico were the better side. But then obviously Brazil being Brazil and the depth that they've got, the players that they've got available to them, did what they did. Neymar ruled for about 50 miles in total in that game, I think.
The biggest thing to come out of this World Cup for Brazil is all the memes and GIFs that have come out about Neymar rolling down streets and bowling alleys and all these other...
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
It's bad.
You go back,
man,
15, 20 years, you see all these videos of Brazilians cutting through players and tearing them apart, making them look stupid. Now you just got one that's rolling around on the floor. It's pathetic.
Thing is, though, Mexico gave a real good showing themselves in this World Cup. It's obviously the game against Germany. And honestly, one breakout player in world football from this World Cup has probably been Lozano from Mexico.
He's been really good, hasn't he?
Extraordinary. Really good. I'll be amazed if he's still in Eredivisie next season for PSV. Mm. He's bound to get picked up by some, because he's had an astonishingly good World Cup.
How about this?
All right.
A replacement for Mahrez with Leicester's cushy 60 million, they could end up.
Lozano's a lot younger. Because he's getting from Eredivisie, obviously the market's so inflated at the moment. I don't think it'll probably... I reckon they potentially could get Lozano for cheaper, but I think there'd be bigger teams on Lozano's radar than Leicester.
Mm.
He could get a bigger club, I think. Point. Leicester. No disrespect to Leicester, but I don't see that.
Yeah. That's really it, isn't it? To be honest about the Mexico-Brazil game, wasn't really much else to it. Brazil just sort of did what they do. Mexico were unfortunate. They've never got past this stage in the last 7 World Cups either. Never got past the round of 16. They've always gone out at this stage. Yeah. Which is quite astonishing, really, when you think back 7 World Cups.
Yeah, I know. It definitely... probably more of a mental thing than a physical thing for the country now. So
you'd think that many times
they got so cut. Well, they've got to the last 16 and not been able to progress past that hurdle. Probably a bit of something in there.
Well, our group partners Belgium played Japan. Now this was a good turnaround if I'd ever seen one in a World Cup. Belgium were faced 2-0 down and then somehow managed to pull out a 3-2 win thanks to relegated West Brom player Nasser Chadli.
You got there.
I almost forgot his name. I was about to say Hegazi. I was like, no, that's not right. It's not Hegazi. It's Nasser Chadli.
Wrong nationality. He's Egyptian.
Yes, that's the one. But yeah, how about Nasser Chadli popping up to secure Belgium a quarterfinal spot?
It was a great counter-attack, because obviously I think Japan had the corner or a free kick, but Courtois claims it, throws it out, and Belgium just go pew,
straight up the other end.
Goes on the right-hand side. Lukaku dummies it. It runs through him, and it goes right to Nasser Chadli, and he just slots it home. But Japan were unlucky. What's that guy's called? Inoue, I can't remember his name. I haven't got it in front of us, I can't remember his name exactly, but his goal was a decent hit as well.
Yeah. So, our team that we're facing next is Sweden. Obviously, they beat Switzerland 1-0. I thought Switzerland could have won this one, but Sweden proved to be the better team, really.
To be fair, in the tournament that's gone on, Sweden probably have played better as a team because, unlike Switzerland, they haven't got any real individuals. There's been a lot of talk about Granqvist for Sweden. I think he's their top goal scorer in this World Cup so far, but he's not a Jedrzejczyk Chakiri or anyone like that.
You can't quite flick that switch.
Switzerland had the likes of Shaqiri, Ricardo Rodriguez. They had Jan Sommer as a goalkeeper, even Granit Xhaka. I'd personally say that all those four players are better than
teams. But as a team, Sweden are more organised and they work better as a unit, which is why they've obviously come out on top.
True that.
Certainly so. Well, it's time. It's time to talk about England. Oh my God.
I need another drink.
The many, many emotions that went through this game. Obviously, we drew 1-1 and then won on penalties, but we'll get into all that shortly. England did start well and certainly looked the better side, seeing more of the ball. Being that dominant force that we've not seen for a few years, we tend to get scared at these occasions and back off. But we started well, held on to the ball and looked like that dominant side.
Well, in the 90 minutes, I only actually record Colombia having two shots on target. We looked a more comfortable team. It was only until they scored an extra time that Colombia actually looked a little bit like they could actually play football.
Yeah.
The way the Colombia set up, they weren't really playing football as such. We outplayed them. We should have took our chances a bit better than what we did. And it probably shouldn't even got to the stage when it was 1-0 with 94th, 95th minute when Yerry Mina scored for Colombia. But anyhow, we got through. But we did. We definitely looked. No, throughout the 120 minutes, we definitely looked the better side. 100%.
Yeah. 100%. There was an early chance for England down that right-hand side. The ball was played into Trippier from Lingard, which was a beautiful little bit of play, yeah, by the way. And then Trippier whipped it across the back post. It just bounced off Sir Harry's head over the top. And
Sir Harry.
The nation. The nation. How do you think Harry did in this game? Because I thought he was a bit isolated at times. And then he dropped too deep. And whenever he dropped deep, that was when we moved forward. And when he was up top, that was when we were sat back.
I'm assuming you're talking about dropping deep is when after Jamie Vardy came on.
Yes, he dropped
more times than that. They still stuck to the formation of having a number 10 and a number 9 rather than two out-and-out strikers. Yeah. They went to the point where they had Jamie Vardy as the main focal point and Harry Kane was trying to get in amongst. It didn't... I'm not saying that Harry Kane can't work that role, but it didn't suit the style of play that we are used to and what we've done in this World Cup. We need Harry Kane as our main focal point. I don't mind having someone alongside him, but yeah, Harry Kane literally dropped to that number 10 role, like Vardy go number 9.
Yeah.
It was a negative move. Well, he brought Vardy on for Raheem Sterling, which is obviously... Sterling was poor again, I thought, truthfully.
It did look a bit better than the previous games, but he still needs that confidence boost. He needs a goal.
He needs something. He had moments in this game where he looked all right, but
yeah,
bringing Vardy on, I thought, was an all right substitute. It was a positive sub, but the way that the team formation changed after bringing Vardy on didn't help the team. I'd have been happy if they just played two out-and-out strikers. When they brought Rashford on later on in the game, they kind of went back to like a front three, or Harry Kane's a focal point and had Vardy and Rashford off him. So it kind of went back.
Yeah.
That's when we started getting positive for the last 10, 5 minutes of that last second half extra time. We actually looked a threat again. But it was only kind of when that happened. It was a positive sub, but it wasn't a positive for the team, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, they didn't respond to it how they needed to. Like you're saying, Kane works better when he's got the runners to play off him. It's exactly like even Rooney works like that as well. When Rooney's playing up top, he needs runners because he's not got the pace. Wow. Exactly the same as Kane. Kane's not got the pace. One thing Kane was really good at in this game was picking the ball up, running at the defence and winning a free kick just to try and get the team up with him, because there were so many times where he'd be up there and no one would be running with him and no one would be giving him an option. So he'd have to force out a free kick. That's why we're winning so many like wide free kicks and even the central ones just on the edge of the box. Yeah, he's winning us a lot.
Absolutely.
Right. But the first half mainly was just both sides testing the water, really. Like, they were openings for both sides, but the chances weren't taken when they were there, or the defenders saw them off as best as they could and just sort of cancelled it out.
Well, it's getting to that stage of the tournament where the teams... are getting a bit more cautious about how they approach matches and games. They're not willing to show all their cards, like show their hand, I should say, and just go all out. They're trying to just cover themselves and be a bit more cautious on how they play, which is understandable because it's now if you lose, you're out, which Colombia found out. But anyhow.
Just getting a slight dig in there. Just for us to remember, did you happen to see the front page of The Sun today?
No.
Right.
I've been working, I've seen it.
This is the headline. It was brilliant. I lost it at a petrol station because I started laughing at it. The headline said, The Three Lions faced a nation that brought us Shakira, great coffee, and other stuff.
I thought you were about to say, coming from the country that brings us organised gun crime, cocaine, and probably kidnapping.
It was brilliant. I just probably lost it in the petrol station. It was quite funny.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine how the sun played on it.
Yeah,
Colombia well known for its delicacies. So I can imagine they played on many some part delicacies. Of that. Yeah.
But England won the free kick on the edge of the box thanks to Harry Kane, like I was just saying. Yeah. And during the like organisation within the box for Colombia and England and the players that weren't on over the free kick, Henderson received a head to his chest and then his chin. The movement sort of brought it up.
Yeah.
Personally, I think because he's brought his head up and made contact with his head as well, I think that should have been a red. Don't know about you, but the fact he moved his head up should have been a red. If he'd kept his head down and just hit his chest, I think that's fine. That should have been a yellow. But I don't know. I don't know if that's just me that sees it like that.
Definitely wasn't you, because obviously all the pundits, Gary Neville, were saying straight red, straight red, straight red. But then other people being said, like the fact that he wasn't looking at Henderson, he's literally rubbed his head into his chest. But then he's raised his head and like jaw jacked him. So it's like,
yeah.
I genuinely think there's an argument for both sides. But when I saw it, a lot of people were saying red card, but I wasn't the only one at the same time saying I can understand why it was a yellow. Like,
yeah.
It just depending on the ref. But I can understand why it was a yellow. But if it was given as a red, I would have also understood why it was given as a red.
Yeah. I liked. Clattenburg's point, he said the ref should have gone to the VAR,
to the machine himself,
the screen, and took it from his own decision and not, the VAR assistants are there to help you and to make a decision for you. But in that scenario where he completely lost that game, honestly, all the Colombians that were all around him completely lost it. They were causing so much uproar and chaos. He should have been branching yellow cards out left, right, and centre. But he should have taken it upon himself to be like, I understand you think it's a yellow, but I'm just going to double check it myself and see what I think personally. And then made his decision from there. And then it would have been fine for me. I just think that they've not noticed the head going back up as well. So I don't know.
I know, but...
Oh, well, we still won.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But yeah, that's really it for the first half. There wasn't really anything in it besides nerves. Lots and lots of nerves.
Yeah, definitely lots of nerves.
Tension.
Definitely. Yeah, man.
The second half comes along and England get themselves a corner. And during the ball coming in for the corner, Harry Kane is pulled down. He exited the love train and got brought down straight away. I love that little love train they've got going on with Henderson, Stones, Maguire and Kane. It is brilliant. Henderson peels off to front post. Maguire and Stones push through the centre and then Kane peels off around the back. Every single corner it was working.
Obviously, Harry Kane's about 6'3", so he's always going to be lethal in the air. John Stones has obviously already proven that he's good in the air. Harry Maguire's literally got a bull head and he wins every header. Henderson. Yeah Henderson. But
he's there. He's involved.
But literally those guys just charge into the box and they're going to cause havoc for any team defending that because they're good in the air. We've got some aerial threats in this team.
Well, the penalty was obviously converted by Harry Kane, but the Colombians once again causing complete uproar for this penalty. Yeah. The referee once again lost the game. And it took, honestly, about 6 minutes for the penalty to be taken because of the Colombians. Everyone was around the ref. But like I said before, it should have been branching cards out. It should be like, look, I've given the penalty, take it, or I'm going to start carding you.
Yeah, I get that. 100% agree.
And when they're hassling the ref like that, he needs to just be... Don't care about the occasion. It's like you don't hassle the ref. The ref's made his decision. That's it. That's final. that's happening.
You respect like, my authority.
Yeah. The best bit was is they were all saying, go to VAR, have a look. It's like, mate, you're going to get a penalty given against you either way. You've just pulled him to the ground.
Yeah, it was a pen. Like, it was definitely a penalty. Ridiculous. I was celebrating.
And it was right underneath the referee's nose. It wasn't like the referee was at the other end of the box.
I was celebrating for a penalty before it was even given. Like, there's no way it was not going to be given. It was a penalty.
Yeah. Straight away. All day long. No doubt about it.
All day long.
Yeah. But after this, obviously, Harry Kane took his penalty brilliantly. Straight down the middle. Full power. Great penalty. Yeah. But afterwards, it's when it really started getting horrible, in a sense. It's so hard to talk about a game like this when it's just poor quality from Colombia. England were trying to actually play football, and Colombia were protesting everything. They were fouled. They were being nasty. They were being dirty. Like, it wasn't a clean game at all. But you've got to give credit to England for holding together and keeping calm throughout all those tense moments that were going on. Henderson was stuck in it quite a bit. He had to sort of pull himself away from it because he was getting in quite a bit of trouble. He even got himself booked, I believe, as well.
Yeah, he did.
But there was just a lot going on, and a fair play to him for keeping calm, because it is so easy to just turn around and give someone a shove. Really easy. Like Henderson did. He knocked someone with his head, didn't he? Pushed backwards on his head.
Didn't Henderson get booked in all the penalty melee?
Yeah, it was, yeah. Someone had, a Colombian player had the head pressed against Henderson's, and he sort of pushed him back with his head. I won't really class it as a head, boy. It's more a push with his head, but he still deserved a booking. I'm not going to argue
Totally agree.
It's situations like that where you've really got to keep calm and hope that the referee notices it. Otherwise, it could end bad.
It just seemed to be the way that Colombia set themselves up, that they disrupt the flow of play. They must have feared the way that England... Obviously, James Rodriguez was a massive miss for that team. Quintero's not a bad player. Obviously, they've got Cuadrado, they've got Falco up top, and this, that, and the other, but...
Muriel as well that came on.
They're just... Then Arias as well, who's quite a decent fullback. I think he's back. I think he's about to sign for Juve as well. Well, he came on and got booked straight off the bat, Carlos Bacca. I remember that.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Which he got on the pitch, straight on the card. But the way the Colombia were playing, they were just trying to disrupt the way that England were playing, which is not a bad tactic if you feel like the other team are superior opposition, which we showed that we were because we won in the end. But yeah.
Well, yeah. Certainly did. There was another penalty claim for England on a good counter attack, but I don't think there was much in it. It was Lingard that found himself sort of through on goal, but got taken down.
This wasn't a pen. Much in it. No, definitely not a pen. There was barely any contact of what it was. There was quite a few questionable people falling over in this game, and this was one of the moments where I thought it was like, it's just trying to con a decision to be truthful, because I genuinely didn't think there was much on it.
Yeah, same. But late on, Colombia started seeing a lot of the ball, far too much for my liking. It was very tense. England looked rattled. Colombia got in the heads a little bit. There were mistakes happening left, right, and centre from England. Kyle Walker lost the ball at one point, and Colombia almost broke on as a scored. But thankfully,
they shanked it wide. I remember that. I can't remember who hit it, but it was Cuadrado. It was Cuadrado, 100%, yeah. Like, it gets laid across to him to the top right-hand side of the box. He's got a clean shot. Yeah. All he had to do is hit it back across Pickford, but he just scuffs it and hits it to his near post of Pickford and puts it wide. It's like, it was poor, to be fair, for Cuadrado. It really should have been a goal.
It should have. It really should have, but the entire nation let out a massive sigh of relief.
Yes.
Before laying into Kyle Walker for losing the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. But
Lingard could have been through again, though, but the really poor touch that he had as he came in towards the box and then lost the ball. It wasn't great.
Just unfortunate, because, to be fair, Lingard had an all right... No one really shone massively in this game, but Lingard definitely wasn't one of the worst players on the pitch. He had his moments, but it was one of those things where his touch took it away from him.
Yeah. Definitely. Like we said before, Vardy came on for Sterling, who did look a little bit better in this game compared to the previous ones. He had moments, like you said, where he was beating a few players, but his final decision-making is what needs serious improvement.
probably just, I was going to say, probably just the occasion and whatnot, because obviously there was a chance where he had a shot that he volleyed straight at the goalkeeper, but he was offside, but he probably still could have done a little bit better with that choice of finish, if you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I just don't think having him as a lone striker works for England. I just don't think it works with our system. Obviously, we still kept trying to hit Harry Kane and whatnot. We need to be playing the ball on the floor, ripping it round the last man so Vardy can run onto it. I just don't think it worked for Vardy.
Vardy needs to be on the shoulder.
The way we played it. Just don't think it worked.
Yeah. Like he's not the type of player to win the ball in the air. No. And when he does on occasion, he had no support. It was exactly the same as the Belgian game when him and Rashford were up front. Whenever either of them won the ball, there was no one there for support. We went static in these last few moments and it wasn't good. Really wasn't convincing, but they held strong, thankfully. Obviously, they conceded the goal, but what a save from Pickford from that effort. I can't remember who struck it, but what a save. That came out of literally nowhere.
Oh, Jordan Pickford. You used to play for Carlisle, did you know?
Oh, my God. Fortunately, I did.
But, all serious note... Yeah, it was a really good save from the lad. Really, really good.
It was. Unfortunate that the resulting corner came up for a goal. Mina, I believe it was, that got the head of the guy from Barcelona.
6'5" in the back, Yerry Mina.
Yeah, beat Harry Maguire to the header, which is unfortunate because Harry Maguire did really well at winning the ball in the air. Heartbreaking for England, of course. It bounced onto the deck, which is the perfect header you could put in.
Yeah.
Causes complete confusion. Bounced onto the deck, bounced up, and the tiny little Trippier couldn't quite.
Smallest
get
man on the post. No,
exactly. Weird, innit? I've got no faults for anyone on this goal, though.
No.
Just want to put that out there. No one did anything wrong, I don't think. I think maybe questionable putting Trippier on the post, but. It's just one of them things. It's literally it's a brilliant header, and it's really hard.
I've played football, you tend to put either the shortest people on post or the people probably the most inept at heading on posts. Just so if it does come to that sort of area, they're not in the main melee, but they can probably still do something useful to clear the ball out. But Trippier does get head into it, but I don't know if he jumps a little late or a little early, but the ball just flicks off him and goes into the roof of the net.
Well. The bounce completely does him, doesn't it? He don't know where it's going, really. But a really good header from Mina.
Take nothing away from it.
But obviously that meant heartbreak for the nation. We're all broken at this point. We all thought...
I thought we were.
Done. We're going home. In all honesty, I did as well. We're all at that stage where we've conceded. We're going into extra time. They've got the momentum. And... it's just not looking good. And into that extra time, Harry Kane, like we said loads of times before, dropped far too deep. And Colombia were coasting at this point. We were really worried. There were loads of confusion in defence. There was a throw-in moment between Trippier and Stones. Yeah. Trippier threw the ball into Stones and Stones booted it straight back out. Like, what was even going on there? Like, the communication had gone, the movement had gone. Everyone was all over. No one really knew what were happening.
The goal proper rattled us.
Yeah, it really did. It knocked us back.
We didn't show anything really in that game after we conceded that equaliser. We were gone. Like I said at the start, I genuinely thought we would have gone at that point. I just expected Colombia to nick one.
Yeah, especially when they were all over us in extra time. Ashley Young... left the pitch for Danny Rose, who seemed to have picked up a bit of a knock late on in regular time because he went down, didn't he, in the far corner. Just sort of what happens, I hope he's all right for the next game, because he did have an all right game, to be fair.
There wasn't anyone that really had a really disappointing game. Well,
everyone had a decent game.
It feels like I've got a vendetta against Raheem Sterling at the moment, but like... it's probably his best game, and he still wasn't great.
Yeah, it's hard, but he's not had it easy. He's had all the press on his back, and like the occasion itself is enough to rattle someone. It's hard for him, but hopefully he'll get there. Maybe the quarters is where he'll shine.
Well, hopefully it has to happen at some point.
Or just hopefully.
Ruben in.
Get Lord Loftus in. Like we said, again, England far too static, couldn't hold on to that one goal. They needed to keep going. You can't settle a game on 1-0. It were always going to happen. As soon as we sat back, we brought Eric Dier on, and we sat back and we tried holding on to that 1-0, and it didn't work.
It was negative substitution. It just invited pressure. Yeah, onto us.
Precisely. You've got to keep pushing for that second.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like when you're 2-0, that's when you sit on it. But when you're 1-0, it's too risky to sit on that.
Totally agree. I think.
Unless you're a team that are completely confident in doing that, like Russia did against Spain. They got their goal that they needed and sat back and held it. Unless you're fully confident in doing that, we're not. We're not a strong defence. Too much pressure and we break. Vardy had a decent chance, although it was offside, and he did hit it straight down the keeper's throat, which was a bit disappointing.
Just what I mentioned before, really, when on summing up Vardy.
Yeah. Close chance for Danny Rose as well. Honest to God,
I thought I was in. I thought he summed up.
I got up and ran round and everything.
I jumped up, and I wasn't the only one jumping up in the pub when this happened. I thought Danny Rose had scored, and unfortunately,
got his first goal since 2016. It would have been.
It wasn't as close as I first thought it was, but I thought it sunk. I thought he sunk it in.
Yeah, just really unlucky. Yeah. But that gave England a bit of a spark, I thought. I thought that chance made England think, you know what, we can do this, we've got this. And they started bringing that spark back in, especially when Rashford came on for Walker, who had serious cramp.
Yeah.
But the pace and spark of Rashford could have been like a game changer, but it wasn't to
probably be. The most positive sub Southgate's made over this whole tournament, to be fair, at that point, was bringing Rashford on, and obviously he converted his penalty. I thought it was a really good substitution to make. It showed a bit of style and go for it.
Yeah, definitely so. But like you say, it went to penalties. And the nail biting. Do you have many left? Or
no, not really. Most of my nails are worn right down.
Yeah, same. Obviously, Cumbria took theirs first. Falcao scored it brilliantly. Yeah. Harry Kane stepped up, scored his excellently.
No surprise.
Cuadrado took Colombia's second, and that was also a brilliant penalty.
Yeah.
Marcus Rashford stepped up and took the second penalty for England. I was a little bit nervous for this one. He's a young lad, big occasion.
Yeah.
Could have crumbled, but he didn't, and it was a brilliant penalty.
We were chatting, thinking about it. Like, we were saying, like, oh, we think Rashford had missed this, just because obviously it's a big occasion, he's a young lad. But
yeah,
he scored.
Yeah. Good penalty. Can't remember who took Colombia's third, but it was scored.
Yep, scored.
One person I do not want to take another penalty, though, in Jordan Henderson.
To be fair to Henderson, it wasn't a bad penalty. The keeper made a very good save.
Ospina did really well with it. But thankfully, the Colombian player, can't remember who, but I don't really care at this stage.
Yeah, no one cares.
Hit the bar. There we go. Hit the bar and gave us a bit of hope. And we were like,
indeed.
Up steps Kieran Trippier and scores his, which again, brilliant penalty.
Yeah.
Didn't expect Trippier to be a penalty taker, but if he's going to smash him in like that.
Who cares? He scored. He scored it. Who cares if Trippier took a pen? He's buried it, so it's all good.
And then Pickford saved the next Colombian penalty, and then Eric Dier steps up.
And it's coming home.
Oh, it's coming home. I never doubted him. Not at one stage did I doubt that squad. Fully confident in him. Oh, dear. What an emotional rollercoaster that was.
Oh, just a bit. But that's football, and it was something else. It was such a good feeling. Like I said at the start, every single emotion in one game, it was so good.
I loved how they went back to the panel on ITV, and they were they were all like Lee Dixon when he was speaking. He was, his voice was crackling because he'd obviously been screaming and shouting, and also like you could tell the emotion was flooding through everyone that was like supporting him at that moment. It's a big occasion for England to win a penalty shootout because we don't do it often.
No, not and at all.
And to get further than we ever have done in the last 12 years is positive. So if they were to go out in the quarters, I'd accept it. I think we could edge Sweden, but if we were to go out
should edge Sweden,
I'd be happy.
Talking about losing voices and that, I'm surprised I've got a full voice for this.
So I was a bit scared at one point because
some of the people I was watching the match tonight with, their voices started to break and crackle. Not even joking.
Not even joking. Sounded like this. before we leave you, I suppose we best go through the quarterfinals and give some predictions on those. So starting off with France Uruguay, how do you think this is going to go down?
France
to win. I'll back you with that.
Yeah.
I don't think Edison. I don't think Cavani and Suarez. I was about to call them Edison and Cavani then.
Edison and Luis. All first name terms, the Uruguay players.
Yeah. Down with the boys. That's...
move
away from that. Brazil against Belgium. Who do you think is going to come out on top? I think Belgium.
That's going to be a really tight game. And it wouldn't actually surprise me if Belgium were managed to get something from Brazil. So I'll go Belgium as well.
I think it'll go all the way as well. I think it'll go straight to penalties. Maybe like a 1-1 draw or something stupid like that. But I don't think Brazil have not been at the best at all. The players that they've got, they should be dominating what's left of this World Cup.
Belgium have got a lot of good quality players as well. I'd fancy Belgium to get something from Brazil.
Yeah.
I'd fancy it.
Yeah. I'd hope so. Sweden against the mighty England.
Really?
If it's coming home, we've got to win.
Have you got to ask? It's England going to win that.
Yeah, of course it's England. No Zlatan. Last time we played them, they had Zlatan. He got 4. Yeah, he's not there anymore. Oh, no. We're fine.
We've got Harry.
Yeah. What, Maguire?
Bullhead, yes. He's going to get 4 goals himself. He'll be our new...
I really want him to score.
Wouldn't surprise us. I do think he's a decent bet for a goal, anytime goal scorer, Harry Maguire. He's a threat. He's a threat from...
He's always about...
He's a real threat.
Always about. And then we've got the hosts, Russia against Croatia. I think this is where it's going to come to an end for Russia. Was that an actual toot?
Yeah. Please.
that came through perfectly.
That's getting edited out.
Oh, dear.
Anywho. Anywho. I thought Spain would knock Russia out. They're still here. I expect Russia to knock Crusher.
Crusher.
Yeah.
Glass of Crusher.
Crush them. I expect Croatia to knock Russia out, but Russia, they're the home team, so you just don't know what's going to happen. Artem Zuba's doing decent. Cheryshov's doing decent. Smolov, the rest of them. Yeah. Golovin, obviously. Doing all right. Ignatievich, as long as he's putting his in his own net. Akinfeev. Doing good on penalty saves and whatnot, so
yeah, they're looking all right, but I think Croatia will nick it.
So do I.
I'll be surprised if Russia do come up with something.
Yeah, agreed.
But that's everything. We're gonna be back on Saturday to talk about England being in the semi-finals. That's what we're gonna be doing.
Hopefully so.
So we thought this could have been the end of us following England in this World Cup and would have been regretfully following all the other teams, but we're still in it. We're still in it and we've got a chance.
We have.
So just hold that faith. Hold that faith.
Absolutely.
You can join us on Soccer Manager. All you've got to do is enter the Game World ID which is 385792 on the app or the website, which is soccermanager.com. And you can join us and take over any club you like that's not got a manager, obviously. And you get 300 million to buy whoever you want. So go buy these World Cup stars. Go buy the Colombian team and start a drug cartel. I'm joking. I'm joking. If you would like to get in touch and tell us how many heart attacks you had within the 120 minutes of football England played, you can do so by tweeting us using the handle at Footy Foundry. That's FOOTIE. Or you can find us on Facebook by searching The Farting Foundry. The Football Foundry, of course. Or they can go to our website, Matt, which is what?
WWEthefootballfoundry.com.
WWE.
Oh, God, I've got wrestling there. www.footballfoundry.com. Thefootballfoundry.com, I should say.
There we go. Also, be sure to give our partners, the Beautiful Game Network, some love by following them on Twitter using the handle at TheBGNFM. And finally, a huge thanks to our sponsors, Roughneck Scarves. They are the official scarf supplier of the MLS, USL and US Soccer. You can get yourself a custom-made scarf for your team at roughneckscarves.com. So how do you think we're going to do against Sweden? What's your prediction on goal scores?
2-1 England.
2-1 England.
Yeah.
I'm going to say a comfortable 2-0 England.
Okay.
But I think we're going to say goodbye now and let this lovely song sing us out. So would you like to say goodbye?
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone. And just remember, it is coming home.
This podcast is part of Britpod Scene, an independent network of uniquely British podcasts that's always growing. Check out BritpodScene.com or BritpodScene on Twitter to find out more.